In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, we read about one of the problems that plagues all mankind. Proverbs 16 and verse 2, he says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Now in chapter 21 and verse 2, we see some similar words also pointing out this same problem. Proverbs 21 verse 2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts." So when the Lord tells us how man is clean and right in his own eyes, this is not something that is just a problem that a few people have. This is a problem that really everybody has, and that is our natural tendency to look at ourselves in the very best light and to look at ourselves as being right in all of the things that we do, in every one of our ways. We're going to tend to find some way to explain that to where we're okay in whatever it is that we're saying or doing. If that requires blaming whatever we've done on somebody else, well, people do that. That goes back to the very beginning, doesn't it? When Adam ate of the fruit, what was the first thing that he did when the Lord pointed out that he had sinned against him in eating that fruit? And he said, "The wife that you gave me, she gave to me to eat." So he was really simultaneously blaming God and Eve for what he had done there instead of taking that responsibility for his own actions. So we see that example very early with man, even when he's doing wrong, finding a way to rationalize that it is right or somebody else's fault in whatever somebody might criticize. Well, this is a very dangerous way to go or way to follow. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, and this is one of those proverbs that we find repeated word for word. It's Proverbs 14 verse 2, also Proverbs 16:25. They're identical, so you can choose which one you want to go to. But he says there on both places, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, tying that together with the those other verses that we just read, how many times is it that that way that seems right to us is our own way? Well, that's most people. Most people think they're doing fine, that everything they're doing is okay, and it seems right. And whatever it is that they're doing, that they're going to make to look right in their own eyes. Well, what is the, if we think we're right or make ourselves, convince ourselves that we're right when we're not, and what did he tell us in Proverbs 16:2 and Proverbs 21:2? Who knows who we really are and what we've really, what's in our hearts and whether it is good or evil, right or wrong? Of course, it's God, and he knows, he's pondering the spirits, he's searching every heart, he knows who we are. Now, is he going to judge us according to the way we see ourselves or what we say about ourselves? Or is God going to judge us according to what he sees, which is who we really are in comparison to what his word teaches us to do and to be? Well, we know God's going to judge us by his standard. He's weighing us, he's pondering us, and he knows who we are. So if we think we're right and we're convinced we're right and we say we're right, but we're not, what's the end of those ways that he says? It may seem right, but he says the end thereof are the ways of death. That's spiritual death. So if we go through our life not doing the will of God, but we convince ourselves and everybody else that we possibly can that we're just fine and doing, we're a good person and doing good in all that we do, but we really haven't, then what happens on judgment day? Well, then the Lord is going to send us to everlasting punishment because we haven't done what's right in spite of what we may have thought or said. So that's a very dangerous situation. But how many people are in that situation? Well, just about everybody, except for us, of course. Well, that's where we have to be real careful. How do we know that's not us too? Well, that's what we need. We must be very, very diligent in making sure that that's not describing us too. It should not be difficult for us to recognize that tendency that we've had in our own selves. And before we were a child of God, we should readily recognize that we did those same things in making rationalizations or justifications of our own actions, when we weren't doing right, even though we were protesting that we were right. But that doesn't mean we are. In Proverbs chapter 1, he shows us how this is a problem of the world. Proverbs chapter 1, and this is from the standpoint of God's wisdom speaking, as God's wisdom is in the role of the speaker or teacher in several different places in the book of Proverbs. This is the first of those cases, and when God has his own wisdom in the role of the speaker and teacher, does that get our attention? Are we paying attention to whatever it is that God is saying through his wisdom, letting us know, here is my wisdom. Here's the wisdom from the Almighty God that is now speaking to you. That should very much get our attention. It should right here in the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, starting in verse 20, and we want to read from 20 down through verse 31 here. But wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. Now, before we even read what she says, he starts in those first two verses by letting us know where wisdom is crying out and where she's calling. Her voice is being heard, says outside, that's without, in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. Now, what's notable about all those places, especially when we combine them all, that's where everybody is. So God's wisdom is not speaking here in some corner, some remote place where nobody's around to hear the words. So here God's wisdom is calling out to mankind. This is man wherever he is, which shows us that what is going to be spoken about here, and when God's wisdom is pointing out man's problems, that this is a problem, these are problems that are common to all mankind. And such is the case here. And so what are the words that wisdom speaks in these places where the people can be found? Verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Well, is being a simpleton, is that something that's a very, very rare to find among men? Or is that something that's very common? Well, we know that's common. He says, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So this simplicity and this scorning and foolishness, this is what we see in the world. This is what God sees in the world. Now, how many of the people that are like that are recognizing that that's what they are? I mean, how many fools know that they're a fool? How many scorners know that they're a scorner? How many simple ones know that they're simple ones? I mean, almost any, you find a simple one, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, I'm a real simpleton. And how many people are going to say, yep, I'm a fool? Or I'm a real scorner. I mean, nobody's going to say that. Nobody thinks that about themselves. And here's God's wisdom calling out to mankind, showing that this is just about everybody. There's a real problem there. That's what you call a disconnect from what reality is. And here we see that here's where the problem comes in verse 23, and why people are following foolishness and wickedness and evil while convincing themselves that they're doing what's right. But the end thereof are the ways of death, as we know. But wisdom cries out in verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So here God's wisdom is calling out, but God's wisdom is full of what in verse 23? Reproof. To tell man that man is not doing what's right, that man is not good, that man's ways are not right in God's sight, though they may be very right or clean in their own eyes. They're not to God. And even though with man, if you were to ask man and ask every individual person, then add it up, and we would then get the impression that there's no simplicity, that there's no scorning and no foolishness or wickedness in the world, when it's the exact opposite from what's true. So here's a lot of reproof that's needed. With all that wickedness and foolishness that's there, there's a lot of reproof that needs to be heard. And the command is to turn at the reproof that comes from God and his wisdom. But there's where the real problem is. Verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. That's set at naught. That's to count as nothing. That's the word that's what's usually translated or described as despising. That's what the word despised means, to discount or count it as nothing. So what do men, when God speaks by his wisdom and says, what you're thinking and what you're doing here, it's wrong, it's foolish, it's wicked. What's the response that people give to that? To utterly reject and count as nothing what God has said. Well, that's what's happening to wisdom when she's crying out. God's wisdom giving this reproof, man is setting at naught all of her counsel and not regarding any of this reproof. So verse 26, God's wisdom says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. So that's where it's all going to end up. These are the ways of death. When man has made himself or convinced himself that he's clean and right in his own eyes, but is in fact not following God's ways at all. And then rejecting and despising all of the reproof that comes from the Lord by his wisdom. When man's calamity comes, when he's not listened to God, what's going to happen in the end there? Is man going to be saved from that destruction and death that's going to await as the outcome? There's going to be no salvation at that point. So what do we do, and when do we do something about it? And I remember my dad very well. That was what always would. That was the concluding point to a lecture when I'd done something wrong. And at whatever point, finally, the admission came, when all the rationalizations and making right in one's own eyes was over with and faced up to it, and then when you say, yeah, I did what was wrong, he would always say, now what are you going to do about it? So that is a question, isn't it? And so what are we going to do about this problem that we have of thinking we're right or looking like we're right in our own eyes. When God's reproof comes, the tendency to set that at naught or not listen to it. What are we going to do with our excuse-making and rationalizations and all those other things? We need to follow the solution that God gives in his word. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12, and if you can't tell, there's much on this subject, much teaching on this particular topic in the book of Proverbs. Well, this is because this is a book that is very much revealing the wisdom of God for those who will listen to it. So in Proverbs 12, verse 15, he says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Okay, so here is, we've read about how every way of a man is right in his own eyes, and how does the Lord describe somebody that's doing that? Which means he's describing just about everybody. The only exceptions are the very few who end up turning to him. And even among those few, if we're not being very diligent, we can easily slip into some of those old ways and lose what we have. So we have to be so diligent and careful on this. But he says about those who are right in their own eyes, he says it's the way of a fool. It seems right. It may be argued or pointed out or rationalized as right, but it's not. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So that's how many people in the world are fools then by that standard or definition that God gives? The whole world lieth in wicked ness, he says in 1 John 5:19, and foolishness is right there with it. I mean, the whole world does lie in foolishness and wickedness. This is mankind. Now, who is wise according to what this proverb says in Proverbs 12:15? Which the fool is the one who's right in his own eyes. So whoever's wise, this is showing us what is the solution or the way out of this problem of being right in our own eyes and having that kind of foolishness. He says, he that hearkeneth unto counsel. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to listen to his wisdom. We have to hear his reproofs. And when God tells us that we're wrong, We've got to listen to that, accept that, and then do whatever it is he says that we have to make things right. That's why God's wisdom in Proverbs chapter 1 that we read a moment ago said, turn you at my reproof. Not just hear the words, hear them, and then respond by doing them, by turning our ways to do whatever it is that God says we need to do, which is very different than what we have been doing. We must turn at his reproof. We must hearken unto his counsel. Listen to it and then turn. That's the only way to escape this problem that is a plague to man. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, this is one that we also read in our study last week. But Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 6 identifies God here as being the source of knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he gives conditions to receive that from him. God doesn't give that to just everyone. We saw that in Proverbs chapter 1. Here, God's wisdom is crying to mankind everywhere, but how many are finding it? God's wisdom is there for all to find if they'll seek it, but how many are going to listen and do what God says so that they'll actually have that wisdom that's available, that God is making available to us? Very few have that. So there are these conditions that few meet. But Proverbs 2, 1 through 6 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So do we have to receive them? That means to listen and turn, particularly when God's word is saying, you're doing this right here and it's not right. You need to be doing this here. You need to be changing your ways in this particular manner. Do we listen to that? Do we do it? Well, we have to if we're going to receive this knowledge and wisdom and understanding from God. He says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, what point, a problem did he point out that men had there in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29 that we read just a moment ago? They don't choose the fear of the Lord. And that's connected there in Proverbs chapter 1 with the hearing and regarding and turning at God's reproof. That is very much related, especially when we understand what the fear of the Lord is. In chapter 8, verse 13, he says it's to hate evil. Well, if we really are going to hate evil and love and do what's good, are we going to have to recognize that what God says is evil in us is evil, and we have to stop doing that and turn and then do what he says is good? Choosing the fear of the Lord, choosing to hate evil and love goodness and righteousness, requires us to accept, to hear his reproof, to receive his words, those rebukes. Only if we will do that are we going to understand that fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That is the way that we are going to be able to receive that. In chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12, he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, those words should sound familiar to us more than just in Proverbs chapter 3, 11, and 12, because we find them quoted in the New Testament, which shouldn't surprise us. The teachings of God's wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs, is that bound to the law of Moses? No, it's not bound to the law of Moses. This is the wisdom of God teaching what we need to do, and it was true in the time in which the law of Moses was in effect. But it's also true now when the law of Christ is in effect. These are principles that God has for mankind that he's always had and always will. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, he quotes from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, starting in verse 5. He says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, as we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Well, do any of us need any healing? Do we need any? Do we need to have more fruits of righteousness? Well, how are those fruits going to come? How are we going to be holy to God? Well, the only way that's going to happen is for us to receive his correction when we've done what's wrong, to recognize that, receive that, and then turn our feet to do what he has taught us to do. And so that principle that we saw there in Proverbs 3, 11, and 12, he quotes from it right there in Hebrews chapter 12, and he teaches us as followers of Christ not to despise the chastening of the Lord, but to receive that correction and then turn at that reproof and let what is lame to be healed so we can be holy to him. In Proverbs chapter 4, back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, in verses 1 through 9, we find Solomon being used by the Lord as an instrument to teach us, as one to teach us, that we need to value and seek after God's wisdom and understanding. And he's going to show that he was taught that by his father. This is what needs to be what we teach our children, and then their children, and so on. And that is to seek after wisdom and understanding, to value that above all things. Proverbs 4, 1 through 9 says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thee to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. But is everybody wearing that crown of glory? No. What do we have to do in order for that crown to be ours, for us to receive that wisdom and understanding from God? Well, we've got to seek after it, we've got to value it. But how many times do we see in these nine verses the encouragement to hear, and this is where he starts in verse 1, to hear the instruction of a father, and then to not turn away from or reject what he says, but let our heart retain his words, to keep those commandments and not decline from the words that God has given to us. So we find that encouragement many times right there in connection with receiving the Lord's understanding to receive the teachings from his word. Proverbs 6 and verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The way, that's the road. The road to live, as he's putting it there, is for us to receive the reproofs of instruction. We recognize that God's commandment is a lamp and his law is a light. Those words get repeated a lot. But how often does the last part of the proverb get repeated? That those words of God, what do to us? They don't tell us how great we are. That's not the design of it. His word is designed to reprove and correct us when we're not right. And if we listen to that, and only if we listen to that, are we going to live? Those reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, based on that, it shouldn't surprise us then in Proverbs chapter 9 that when it comes to his wisdom and understanding, he's going to show us this is the road of understanding, the way of understanding. As he just said, it's the road of life. Proverbs 9, in verses 6 through 10. He says, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. So does understanding have a pathway that we have to walk to get it? It does. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, for the knowledge of the holy is understanding. There we see the connection of the fear of the Lord again. That hating of evil and loving of righteousness and good, but connected to when we're told and shown by God in his word that we're not right, that we need to do things differently or better, that we're going to listen to that. We're not to listen to that. We're going to then follow it and do it. Not argue with it, reject it, which is what the scorners do. As we also saw in chapter 1, but he says it again there, and he points out the difference between the one who's going to grow in knowledge, wisdom and knowledge and understanding versus those who are not. And the ones who don't are the scorners, the foolish ones who reject God's reproof. In chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19, in verse 25, Proverbs 19:25, says, smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. So who's going to increase or grow in their understanding? One who already has understanding. Because to have the understanding they already have, they had to follow that road of understanding, and he points it out again. Reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So that's how we're going to have understanding in the first place. That's one of the main conditions, that we're going to receive that correction, that we're going to hear that reproof of life, and then turn when we've heard that correction from God's word. And if we continue to do that, we're going to grow and have more understanding, and then more and more and more. But we have to continue to walk that road in order to get it, which is exactly what he teaches us in the New Testament. And we've studied this recently on our Wednesday nights and in James chapter 1. This same process that he's describing here, where he's comparing his word, not really comparing it to a mirror. It is a mirror, a spiritual one. But here's what he says we have to do, and it is a process we have to continue in order for us to continue to grow spiritually, as he's teaching us to here. We all have a goal that he shows us in verse 4 of James chapter 1, that we would be complete and entire, lacking nothing spiritually. Well, we have to endure sufferings for righteousness' sake, but with that, I mean, we have to be following what's right, and we have to continue to do what's right, which is going to require us to hear and do what God says. That's the source of what is right. So he begins in verse 21, James 1:21, saying, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Well, how are we going to lay apart filthiness from us and naughtiness from us if we don't recognize that there is filthiness and naughtiness in us in the first place? So we have to hear from God's word and receive that reproof when God's word is telling us that we have problems, that we have things in our heart that need to be purged out, that need to be changed. And we have to receive then, he says, with meekness, the engrafted word. Well, we have to be meek. We have to show meekness and forbearance to receive those reproofs and the correction that comes from God's word. If we're not meek, and then God's word tells us, you're wrong, how are we going to respond to that? Without meekness and humility, we're going to reject that, rebel against that, reject that. So we need to receive with meekness that engrafted word that's able to save our souls. But is it able to save our souls if we don't receive the reproof in turn when we hear it? Well, it won't save us then. So that's why verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Well, there's no benefit to the mirror then if we see what's wrong and don't do anything about it. So if we hear God's reproofs in his word and we don't receive it and turn at his reproof, then we've just seen ourselves in the mirror and then we've gone away and forgot what we just saw. And we're not going to benefit from that. Our ways will seem right to us then, but we know the end thereof are the ways of death. So verse 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." So just like we saw in Proverbs 19:25, for the one who has understanding, when he is reproved or rebuked, he's going to get more understanding because he's going to receive it. So this isn't something we just do one time. We have to do it the first time to get the first bit of understanding, and we have to do it some more to get more and continue to receive more and more correction and reproof. This is going to be a daily thing, a daily exercise in our looking in the mirror and seeing more and more of what we need to change in order to be right in God's sight, not right in our own sight. And so he says, if we look into the perfect law of liberty, so we got to look in the mirror every day and continue in it, not being a forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We'll be blessed with understanding and knowledge and wisdom, and we'll grow more in the parts of the love of God until his love is perfected in us. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Well, to keep his word, we've got to see what we've got to keep, and what we're not keeping, we've got to recognize that and then turn at the reproof and do it. Otherwise, we're not going to grow spiritually. This is vital. This is absolutely necessary for our spiritual growth and ultimately for the salvation of our souls, as he said in James 1:21. Well, this is an opportunity for anyone that's here this morning. If your soul is in need of salvation, if you need to become a child of God, this is an opportunity for you this morning to do so by obeying the gospel of Christ, to repent and be baptized in his name for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God, if you've not been hearing his reproof, if you need to repent of anything or need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here this morning, this is an opportunity for you also. So we want to encourage anyone that's subject to the Lord's invitation to come now while we stand together and sing.